The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
I've got something on my heart. It's from John chapter 8, and we're going to pick it up in verse 27. John 8, praise you, Jesus. Now, Jesus had been talking for a little bit here. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and I do nothing on my own, but I speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, what happened? Many put their faith in him. Let's just stop there for a second. Jesus is talking to a multitude of people. Now, predominantly they are Jewish people who have a covenant with God, but they don't realize their Messiah is standing right in front of them. Most of them don't realize their Messiah, their long-awaited, prayed-for Messiah is standing right in front of them, and they don't realize it. And as he began to speak, his words, which the Father gave him, penetrated the hearts of the people, and they began to have faith. Where do you think I'm going? How does faith come? Romans 10, 17, King James Version Bible says this, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." That's Romans 10, 17. Faith come by hearing. Jesus himself is talking. The Word is talking. And they're doing what? Hearing. So faith came. And as it came, they had a choice to make. Do I put my faith in Jesus or do I not? In other words, let me say it real simple. Do I believe what this guy's saying or do I not? Do I accept it, take it, make it mine, own it, say amen to it? You know what amen means, right? It means so be it. It means let it be done as it was spoken. It means I agree completely. That it means all that. So be careful what you say amen to, right? That was a good place for an amen. Oh my. Jesus is talking and it says, even as he spoke, many people put their faith in him. Quick question. The many, I'm going to talk about the many. Do they have faith in Jesus? According to the Bible, it says they put their faith in him. I'm thinking, they got faith in Jesus. You know what that makes them, in my opinion? Believers. They were hearers and they've become believers. And being a believer is a wonderful thing, but it's incomplete. I'm going to show you where he went. It says in 30, even as he spoke, many put their faith on him. So to the Jews who had believed him, now he's going to talk to a specific part of that group. To the Jews who had believed him, in other words, those that put their faith in him, those that believed him, he's going to talk directly to them. He's not talking to everybody else. He's only talking to the believers. Amen? We're on track. This is only for believers. This is not for heathens. This is not for doubters and whiners and unbelievers. This is for believers. Amen? So he said to the believers, if, that's a big word, and if you, believers, hold to my teaching, the King James says, if ye continue in my word. Continue in my word. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. How many of you would agree with this? If he says you're really this, then there's a possibility that you're not really this. King James says, you will be my disciples indeed. Indeed means by the way you act, by the way you talk, by the way you think. You're not going to just be my disciples in word. He says, you're going to be my disciples in the way you live. Indeed. Amen? So he says this. He said, to the believers, if you continue in my word, or if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. And then because you're continuing my teaching and because you're really my disciples, watch what? He says in the next verse, then And I'm going to add this, only then will you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Is it true that in Oklahoma the weather changes a lot? Hello? That's the truth. That won't set you free. It's not any old truth to set you free. What truth is it? It's the truth that is revealed to you as a disciple of Jesus while you're continuing in His Word. He said to those who believed, to the believers, if you choose to continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples in reality. It'll affect the way you live. And as it's affecting the way you live, you shall come to know progressively, I'm adding words, but I'm giving you the meaning, you'll progressively come to know the truth. It'll be revealed to you more and more and more and more, and you'll see it for what it really is. And as you can see the truth more and it's revealed more and more to you, that truth that's revealed more and more to you because you're a disciple of the Lord who's continuing in the Word, you're going to get more free and more free and more free. Less things of the world are going to be able to cling to you. So Jesus said to the believers, let's go back to that point. Are these believers He's talking to? Yes, He said only to the believers, the ones who, it says they put their faith in Him, and then He said to the ones who believed, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples in reality, indeed, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, they got all beside themselves. They answered Him. Next verse. We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? How many of you know that denial is what keeps people in bondage? Denial is not a river in Egypt. We learned that in Celebrate Recovery. Denial is what keeps people bound. And these guys, they're in denial. He said, the truth will set you free. Remember, who's He talking to? Believers who put their faith in Him. Well, He says to people who have faith in Him, who are believers, according to the Bible, you need to continue in my word. And as you continue in my word, it'll transform your life. You'll become my disciples, a disciplined one, one who lives by the disciplines of my teaching. Daniel-san, catch my drift? You go into training when you become a follower of Jesus. You wax the floor when He tells you to wax the floor. You paint the fence. You may not understand it, but you do it. And in doing what He tells you, you are a disciple. If you don't do what He tells you, you're not a disciple. And as a disciple, you're progressively being revealed more and more truth from God's Word. And that truth that you're being revealed begins to set you free. They thought, well, we're already free. And He said to them, Jesus replied, next verse, I tell you what? The truth. I love it. I love Jesus. This passage of Scripture is literally the place where God led me to title that radio program, The Truth Broadcast. Because we're going to broadcast the truth that Jesus shares, and if people will take those truths and live in them, the truth will set them free. He said, I'm going to tell you the truth. All right? Tell them the truth, Jesus. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Who did He say that to? Believers who had just put their faith in Him. He said, believers, if sin is still your master, you're a slave to it. It doesn't mean you're not a believer, but it means you're not free. Come on. Because He's talking to people who had faith in Him who are believers. And He begins to talk to these believers who have faith in Him about being free. Some people don't like preaching about freedom because they just want to say, well, Jesus died on the cross for me. That settles it. I'll do whatever I want. No, that's not how it is. And if you know Jesus for real, you know that's not how it is. He's not a fire escape. He's a Savior who becomes your nearest and dearest friend. Amen. He said, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And then He says these words. Now, slave has no permanent place in a family, but a son belongs to it forever. That's what He's wanting to do. Son, child of God. He's wanting to train us to be and live like children of God, not like slaves. That's what He's trying to do. He's trying to transform us from being slaves to sin, slaves to fear, slaves to this, that, and whatever, to becoming children of God who live in a freedom that only God can bring. That's what He's trying to do. But it's not just up to Him. We certainly can't do it without Him. But it's not up to just Him. So Jesus said, the slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. In other words, in reality. You're not the person walking around in handcuffs, handcuffed to sinful habits and things that control your life that shouldn't be there, and declaring to everybody how free you are. He wants you free indeed, in reality. And Jesus came to set the captive free, amen? Remember this whole passage. Don't forget this. He's talking to people who had faith in him who were believers. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Here's what God's wanting to do. It's great to be a believer, but Jesus didn't die to make you a believer. He died to make you a belonger. He said that is not grammatically correct. It may not be grammatically correct to say God wants you to be a belonger, but that's exactly what God wants. He wants you to belong to Him, and He wants to belong to you. He wants intimacy and fellowship so that He can develop in you the kind of life that He intends you to live. And I want to say this, if God is convicting you about something in your life, there's something in your life you're just feeling like, that needs to change. I don't know how in the world I'm going to change. I don't know. It needs to change. The very fact that you feel that is literally an invitation from God to be free. I mean, I used to have a habit in my life. This was years ago, back in the 90s, and I had a habit in my life that literally controlled my life. I couldn't function without it. And God convicted me that night. I was praying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, wanted everything God had for me. I guarantee you I saved. I guarantee you that. Been saved for a while, growing in the Lord, growing like crazy. Reading the Bible and just reading it. I'm going to just go ahead and say what it is. It doesn't really matter what it is because it can be anything. But in my case, it was tobacco. I was dipping Skoal. Man, I couldn't wake up in the morning without dipping Skoal before breakfast and dip it all day and dip it all night and go to bed. And if I was somewhere where I couldn't spit, I just swallowed it. You say, that is nasty. Amen to that. It is nasty. I don't know how I ever did. You have to train yourself to like the stuff that's not good for you. That's not good for you. Everybody knows that's not good for you. So people come tell me, that's not good for you. I had a friend whose dad was a dentist. Every time I was with my friend, his dentist dad would see me. What do you think he said about my skull dipping? He'd be like, he spoke things over me that I'm thankful to God did not happen to me. Right? I'm thankful to God for that. But I never felt bad about it. I'm serious. I didn't feel bad about it at all. I could walk into the little old church we started to attend. I'd walk in there with the dip in my mouth. I didn't feel bad at all. Had no conviction about it whatsoever. It just didn't dawn on me that it was just not God's will for me to do it. I didn't figure God cared one way or another. And I'd been doing it since I was 8 years old. And I was heavily addicted to it. If I didn't have it, man, I would get the shakes. I would be irritable. You didn't want to be around me at all. So I'm at this refinery. I'm praying to the Lord. I want to prepare myself to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm reading a book by R.A. Torrey called The Baptism of the Holy Spirit, ironically enough. He said, you need to prepare yourself to receive the Holy Spirit. I got that covered. I mean, I've already asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. In other words, I put my faith in Him. Come on. I was a believer, but I wasn't as free as I could be. I said, now, Lord, I want to receive the baptism of your Holy Spirit. I want everything you have for me, God. And according to what I'm reading in this book, Lord, if I'm supposed to ask you, is there anything in my life that's hindering your ability in my life? Is there anything between me and you that needs to go, Lord Jesus? And I'm thinking while I'm praying that, I'm born again. I'm a Christian. I done give myself to Jesus. The blood of Jesus covered all my sins. I'm good to go. I know the answer to this one. The answer is going to be, no, my child, come on. I'm like these guys. I'm like, I've never been anybody's slave. I'm not a slave. I'm only for you, Jesus, only for you. I'm just all yours, Jesus. That's really how I felt. And the Holy Spirit just goes, you have a habit to come before me. I heard that. It's like somebody threw cold water in my face and slapped me. And I thought, no, you're my Lord. I mean, golly, what you've done for you. You saved me, Lord Jesus. And He showed me exactly what it was. He showed me exactly how I put it in front of Him. And one of the number one thing He nailed me on, this is me. Look at me and say, this is about you, Pastor Dwight. It's all about me right now. It ain't got nothing to do with you, so don't get your feathers ruffled, all right? This is all about what He did in my life. It ain't got nothing to do with you. He said, you have a habit that comes before me. It's an idol in your life. I said, no, Lord. He said, when somebody upsets you, do you grab your skull can first to try to calm your nerves and get your peace, or do you come to me? I said, you know what I do. I grab that skull can. Depending on the level of anxiety they just caused me, I might take an extra scoop because I could put it here, here, and here all at the same time if I needed to. Triple dose. Some people I know that smoke, man, somebody make them mad, they grab two or three of them at the same time. One here and one every which way. You say, why are you picking on me? I'm not picking on you at all. This is about me. But the problem was not the tobacco. The problem was the place that the tobacco held in my life.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
I didn't even know it was there. I didn't know it was a problem. Like I said, I walk into church with a dip. I didn't dip during church, but like if I went to the church and we weren't having church, I don't know why that makes it more holy and less holy, but I was a baby Christian. Give me some grace, you know. But I'll come to the church. I come by. The pastor's there at the church, man. I'll come by and visit with the pastor in the church with a big old dip. He didn't say nothing. You know, other people tried to convict me. You ever had people try to convict you? It don't work, does it? That's why I'm not making this about nobody but me. Seriously, nobody can bring conviction to you. You can even agree with somebody that that's not good for me and I need to quit it. But here's the truth. If you had the power to quit it, you would have already done it. And without God's conviction, you're probably not going to be successful. If you got something going on in your life and God hasn't convicted you about it, here's my advice to you. Pray about it, but don't let any human being try to put conviction on you because it's not going to work. Jesus said it this way. He said, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye while there's a big old plank in your own? How many of y'all ever heard about that passage? Some people take that verse and say, well, that means you need to mind your own business. Newsflash, that's not the end of the verse. Jesus said, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye while you have a plank in your own eye? He said, first, remove the plank from your own eye. Then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's. He didn't say don't look at the speck in your brother's eye. He didn't say don't help your brother with his issues. He said, first and foremost, you take care of what's in your eye. If someone comes to you in love, and they bring something to you that feels like they're trying to convict you, remember this, if they're doing it in love, it's because God's motivating them and they're probably praying for you and you about as well give up because your day's coming. I mean, if you're going to quit, why not today? Good day to quit. Whatever quit it is, quit gossiping, quit whatever it is. Quit looking at things online you shouldn't look at. Quit whatever it is. Quit neglecting the things of God. See, there's a lot of ways you can say quit. I'm not just picking on people who have habits that people like to pick on. I'm talking about God being first place in your life. And I thought God was first place in my life, but apparently He wasn't because He told me He wasn't. He said, you have this and it comes before me. And then He proved it by saying to me, when something upsets you, what do you turn to for peace? And I'm going to be straight up honest with you. I turn to my addiction for peace. We'll call it what it was. It was an addiction. I couldn't function properly without it because I had become addicted and dependent upon it. You can get addicted to Dr. Pepper or Sprite. I mean, you can get addicted to anything. Please don't laugh. I have feelings, believe it or not. At one time, I was addicted to nasal spray. Actually, two or three times. I told you not to laugh. She laughed. I was serious. I got addicted to nasal spray. I had a bad thing going on. I stopped up all the time. I start using nasal spray, right? Ain't no big deal. I mean, it's not like you got to have a license to buy it or something, you know? I go get nasal spray. So I, you know, and, wow, that's amazing. In 2 seconds, it's cleared up, you know? I'm not trusting God for my healing. I'm shooting up nasal spray, you know? Get cleared up, breathe, wonderful, love it. Praise God. How many of you know about 3 hours later, 4 hours later, it's like, I'm a little stuffy. I'll grip my nasal spray. Oh, wow, that's wonderful. Praise God. And before long, you literally, if you do that, I'm serious, you can't go 2 or 3 hours without, and it gets shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter the time in between that you got to keep spraying that chemical in your nose to keep your sinuses open. And in your body, literally, it needs it. It wants it. It craves it. Sugar. Oh, my gosh. Well, Pastor White, please. Every one of us in this room have suffered from the addiction to sugar. Every one of us. All kinds of things. And here's what Jesus is saying about it today. Don't let me lose you. He said to those who had faith in him, who were believers in him, I want to move you from just being a person who has faith and who believes to a person that because of your faith and because of your belief and because of your belonging relationship, I want you to live in complete freedom. I don't want anything lording over you. I don't want anything causing you pain or hurt or harm. I don't want you to be subject to anything of this world. Just subject to Jesus. He'll never do anything that'll hurt you. Never. You don't need anything that comes from the earth realm, no matter what it is, man-made or natural. You don't need anything that comes from the earth realm to be your peace. Jesus is the source of healing there. So if the sun sets you free, you can be free indeed. Well, the Lord nailed me. You go to me, you go to that for your peace and your calm and your anxiety, you know, whatever. And then you put that in front of me concerning finances. And then he got me, boy, he nailed me on another one. You only have enough money to buy a little bit of milk for your kids, or you got enough money to buy a skull? What are you going to do? I just ducked my head. I literally did. I just ducked my head. You know, and it's funny to hear me tell this, right? Kinda. But when God's doing surgery on your heart, that's what he was doing to me. There's not much laughing involved. All I felt was guilt and some shame and shocking revelation because that was right in front of me the whole time and I couldn't even see it. But my immediate response was this. Lord, I don't want anything to come between me and you. And I cast all my fear aside and everything aside, and I walked out of that little shack I was in, 2 o'clock in the morning. I still got to work till early the next day. And I take that can of skull and I open the lid. And I throw it as hard as I can in the dark. And I don't know how I knew to do this. This must have been the Holy Spirit. It had to be. I literally turned my back. And that's called repentance, turning direction. I didn't know that then. I was a baby Christian. I turned my back and I said out loud, Satan, that is not my habit anymore. I walked back in. I sat down on the desk. My Bible was open on the desk. I'm not nearly as confident as I was before. And I sat down and I said, Lord, is there anything else? How many of you know he could have kept me there till now? That was 1992 when this conversation was going on. He could have kept me there till now because he's still working on me, I promise. But do you know what he said to me? He said, no, there's nothing between me. There's nothing between me and you. Nothing hindering. He said, just ask. I said, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Father. Now, when you ask for something and you believe you receive it, what do? You keep asking? No, not if you believe you receive it. So did you feel anything when you asked? No, not really. But I believed I received it because He said in Luke, he said, if men being evil know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? That's Luke chapter 11. I said, Lord, I ask, and you told me to ask, so I know you gave. Now the only thing left to happen is for me to receive. But Father, I thank you. And I began to thank him. Now remember, this is the middle of the night, early morning hours, crude oil refinery, nasty, stinking, dusty crude oil little shack where we would get the crude samples off the truck from. And I began to worship the Lord. And I just stood up and started worshiping the Lord. And man, all of a sudden, Holy Spirit overpowered me, rose up in me. I just was so overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, I wind up laying in the floor, praising him in a language that I never learned. I find myself in this crude oil refinery having a divine encounter, beautiful experience with God himself. You say, well, boy, I bet everything was different from then on. It was different. It's been different ever since then, but I'll tell you what the big difference is. The biggest difference in being empowered by the Holy Spirit in that way is this sense of intimacy that comes, God becoming so real to you that he's like your closest friend that you realize you can't live without, and you don't want to do anything to injure him or hurt his feelings or harm him or push him away in any way. So you start being really sensitive about the things that he cares about. Sometimes people say, you know, I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I want to flow in the gifts and do miracles and whatever. How about we flow in the gift of miracles in getting the garbage out of our own lives? Greatest miracle of all. And whatever else God wants to do, that's up to him. Don't seek gifts. Seek him. The first order of business is this. Before you can receive anything from God, you've got to receive God. You've got to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. If you've done that, you know you've done it. You don't need anybody to tell you where you stand. I woke up this morning, I didn't need anybody to tell me I was a man. I didn't need anybody to tell me I was married. I knew both of those things. One of those is by birth and one of those is by choice. The Bible says the Holy Spirit bears witness in our spirit that we are the children of God. So if you don't have that witness, what's going on? You must not be. Now, the enemy's always going to try to convince you that because of the things you did, you're not a child of God. But that's just a lie from the pit of hell. Even when he's trying to convince you of that, the reason he's trying to convince you is because you are a child of God. But if you've never truly let Jesus be the Lord of your life and received the Holy Spirit as a born-again experience, you know it. And I wouldn't be saying it right now if you didn't need it. And God didn't want you to experience it. So right now, if you need to respond, would you just respond? We're going to pray. If you're coming to Jesus today, say out loud with me, Lord Jesus, I confess you as the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me yours. I believe, as the Bible says, you died on the cross for my sins, and you were buried in a tomb, and you rose from the dead, and you are my Lord. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Now, when you prayed that prayer, you may or may not have felt anything. But I'm going to tell you what God did. He took your record. This is God's perfect record, the Word. And he goes, you know what I'm going to do? From now on, when I look at you, he goes, I look at you through the lens of love and grace, and I don't see anything about you except for what's written right here. He said, what if I mess up? He said, confess your sin to God. He's faithful and just to cleanse you. God says, I only see what I said about you. You receive that? If you're a Christian born again, say out loud, I am a child of God, and he sees me through the love of his word. Amen. You receive it. Give him a good amen. Give him a good praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.